What's your story? Whether you're a client or an independent financial advisor, we know you face many important decisions that can affect your and your clients' long-term financial success. Welcome to the WIN Podcast, What's Important Now with Corey Hymanson, accredited investment fiduciary and president of Hymanson Wealth Advisors. In this podcast, Corey helps you identify your goals and objectives through financial education and comprehensive planning while inspiring you to make better behavioral decisions in your personal finance. With a twist on pop culture and current events, join us as we explore growth and protection strategies for individuals, advisors, and their businesses. Come and discover what's important to you now.
Hello, and welcome to the What's Important Now podcast, or WIN podcast, if you prefer, with your host, Corey Hymanson. Corey, good to be with you. We're coming up on the start of a baseball season yet again, and there's some interesting things going on this year that people have been talking about, and it's kind of interesting. How you doing?
Not bad. Can you believe this is episode 52? We've done two years of this stuff.
I know. It's like a half a century. Well, not a half century. But, you know, that's great. Congratulations.
Well, thank you. Yeah, what the heck? We'll keep her going, right?
Yeah, this is fun. I want to do this for a long time. Absolutely.
and like you said, we're every year it seems like they start Major League Baseball a little earlier. But yeah, we're a couple weeks in after opening day, and everybody's still got the fever that their team's not mathematically eliminated yet. So we'd try and go down the baseball path.
I know. I'm not a big baseball fan, but one of the things I do appreciate about baseball, it has way too many games to be played for anybody to decide a month in, oh God, they're totally out of it.
Yeah, like NFL, yeah, you start losing about six games and then you know you're in trouble. Baseball, hell, that's just a tough week.
That's a bad week. Corey's arm will get better. That'll be okay.
There you go. So I brought in the statistical guy from our office here today. Zed Hymanson is with us.
Yep. Happy to be back again. Talk some baseball with you guys.
That's great. That's great, Zed. Good to have you on.
Yeah. So, you know me, we got to throw in kind of a catchy title. I guess I've already kind of let the cat out of the bag, but this one's titled, There Are Two Eyes in Team. The old saying, no eyes.
No, dude, it just makes me think you need a spelling lesson.
I totally blew by one eye and we're going with two. You know what I'm saying?
So, what do you mean? What do you mean?
Oh, you want me to tie it together now? I see how you are.
Well, no, what are two eyes in team? What is that?
Yeah, I'm going to give just a little precursor, and then I'm going to turn it to Zed for kind of a bigger picture as we dive a little deeper. But
okay.
Off-season, kind of the big headline was Shohei Ohtani, the player that jumped teams. He was an Angel. Now he signed with the Dodgers.
And he has two eyes in his name, by the way.
Correct. There you go. There we go. We had a winner already.
Corey, boom.
So we're gonna talk about his contract, but Zed's gonna give us a little background on Major League Baseball, I think, first. Not a history lesson, but just a little background that actually makes sense to what we're talking about.
Oh, cool. Go, Zed.
Yeah. So I mean, obviously, the main headline from the offseason was Shohei Ohtani signing that 10-year, $700 million mega deal.
Yeah.
With the Los Angeles Dodgers. So I mean, kind of raises a lot of eyebrows if you're more of an NFL or an NBA fan or even NHL. You know, all three of those leagues have salary caps where teams are only allowed to spend up to a certain limit each year for their payroll. The MLB works a little bit differently where they don't actually have a salary cap. So essentially each team can kind of pick and choose how much money they want to spend on their roster. And a lot of that comes down to the money that they earn on TV deals and media rights and just kind of where they're based. So obviously your Los Angeles and New York teams are going to have higher payrolls than maybe the Cleveland Guardians or the Oakland A's. It's kind of a crapshoot between teams based on what their salary looks like. So that kind of raised a lot of eyebrows when the Dodgers are signing players for $700 million over the course of 10 years.
You mean not every team can afford that kind of money?
I'm just cracking myself up over here because as he said Cleveland, I wanted to say Indians, well, the former mascot, there are two eyes in Indian.
No!
Ooh, jeez, there we go. Sorry. I'll go for a walk.
Flinch. I did flinch when he said guardian, and then I realized, oh no, that's right. That's right. The
we were calling out the edit team already. Yeah. Oh man.
Yeah, no. So, I mean, the initial headline, yeah, 10 years, $700 million for Shohei Ohtani. And obviously the reason that that contract is like that, if you don't watch a lot of baseball, he's a really good pitcher, and he also hits 30 to 40 home runs every year. So he's kind of a unicorn in the sport, and it's just very difficult to find either one of those players, let alone both combined in one player, if that makes sense. So essentially the headline there is, wow, that's a lot of money. And then a couple weeks later, it came out that he's actually going to be deferring essentially the entire contract until after the initial term is done. So basically he's earning $2 million a year for 10 years while he's playing for the Dodgers. And then after his contract is over, he's going to make an additional $68 million every year for the next 10 years, starting in 2034 until 2044.
That just blows my mind. That's incredible. I admire the reason for him doing it, though. He clearly he did it for selfish reasons, number one, and selfless reasons, number two, because his agent clearly understood, look, we take all this money once, the Los Angeles Dodgers will be nobody but Shohei Ohtani.
Yeah, you know, and we talk about this frequently about having good professionals on your team, and I'm not trying to take anything away from the baseball player, but you have to assume he had some guidance, like you're saying, Bill, you know, that whether this was the agent or tax professional or a team of them, because this is a serious decision. Most people don't just defer 97% of their paycheck, you know, without thinking it through. And I guess the first thing I get is, you know, wow, what a great player. He's leaving more money on the table for the organization to buy or invest in other players. But let's dig under that. I mean, do you think that's really the case?
I mean, you talked about selfless reasons. One of the interesting things, one of the hottest free agents this offseason for MLB was actually an international pitcher from Japan. And Shohei actually is from Japan as well, so they would have played on the international team together. After Shohei, that announcement came out that he deferred the majority of his paycheck till after the term was over. The Dodgers actually signed that pitcher as well for a pretty lucrative deal. So you wonder if that played a little bit of a part in him deferring a lot of that compensation until after the term was over.
Kind of sounds like collusion of some sort.
I don't know
if that's the right word.
I think this is so smart on two fronts. I think it's really smart in terms of a team building front because there isn't an Anthony alive in baseball, at least, who thinks I am the team. So there's got to be money to pay the other players. But it's interesting. Back in 2013, I got interested in the idea of deferred compensation because that's what we're talking about right now. And in 2013, the CFO magazine wrote an article talking about the rising popularity of deferred compensation plans for not athletes, but for C-suite executives. And so there's a very selfish reasons, as it turns out, why you would just struggle along on $2 million a year for 10 years. you said your producer somewhat sarcastically.
Yeah. And you're right. I mean, a baseball player or a professional athlete deferring a large chunk of money is what gets the headline. But at the end of the day, like you say, a lot of Americans have the ability to participate in deferred compensation plans. I mean, this is not earth-shatteringly new. It's maybe a little deeper end of the pool conversation or topic than a lot of people face if you're an hourly wage employee. But yeah, executives. And there's some downside to all this too. We'll get into that too. But the key takeaway for anybody is that if you want to defer compensation to the future, you got to have enough other money or income to still pay your bills. I mean, you can't just defer 100% of stuff.
And that's the other thing we might be forgetting here is there's estimates out there that Shohei is still going to be making $45 or $50 million a year in endorsement deals during the life of that contract. So he's deferring a majority of that into the future, but he's still getting paid by advertisers to make commercial appearances.
Zed, you're telling me that Shohei might be in a really unique situation.
Yeah, that's correct. Exactly.
Yeah, I think he probably doesn't function day to day or month to month on a real tight budget like some Americans.
Yeah,
you know, he's got cash flow. You know, and then you look at the Dodgers, you're like, geez, what are these guys thinking? Well, it's business. And we say that all the time, too. You follow the money and you can figure out what the questions were essentially in life. And
yeah,
and they still feel that this is a profitable deal.
And you're talking about cash flow and profit. I mean, if we look at the Dodgers' total salary for the 2024 season, mm-hmm. they're paying their players $280 million. And granted, that goes down to about $200 million in projected payroll after some of the adjustments. Obviously, primarily about $68 million of that is coming from Shohei's contract. But you compare that $200 million payroll to the Oakland Athletics, and their projected payroll for 2024 is only $36
million. Wow.
This is a random aside, but I went to a game at Dodger Stadium a handful of years ago, and it was like $60 to park the car, and then I bought a Corona for $22. And so, safe to say, and I wasn't the only guy that paid for parking or concessions. So, I mean,
you weren't the only guy in the stadium, huh?
chances are the Ohtani tax is going to be inflating some of those things too. And you know, there's going to be jersey sales, and there's, you know, this is a big deal. And the Dodgers are a decent team that this might, I guess, in their opinion, might be what they need to actually win in the playoffs better than they have in recent years.
Well, yeah, and this is all interesting. But, I have to say, just in my brief research on deferred compensation, one, as you mentioned, Court, this is not everybody. It's relatively few of us could afford to defer massive amounts of our compensation till later in our lives, right? And there are risks that come with it too, right?
Yeah, I mean, the way I understand his contract is that money is sort of defined, and there's no interest accruing on top of it, the way I understand this. So,
okay.
So he could have been handed $68 million extra this year, but instead he's going to wait to the future to get handed $68 million, the same number, you know? And so everybody knows inflation essentially. So a dollar or $68 million 10 or 15 years from now just won't buy you what it does today. I know that's funny to say.
What got you today.
You know, but every dollar there's going to be purchasing power risk. And honestly, that's something we talk about with our clients frequently. And that's kind of on the opposite end of the spectrum of difficulty or depth is CDs. People think CDs are great investments, and granted, interest rates have come up, so they look a little better now. But what you're really buying with a CD is inflationary risk, essentially, because you're locking in an interest rate, but maybe inflation grows faster than that.
Yeah.
So that's off on a tangent. You didn't even know I was going to go there, but
no, I had no idea. But I every podcast, I have no idea where you're going, Corey. So I just go so, with it.
Consistency.
It's always fascinating, okay?
I've always believed in consistency as a business owner, as an advisor, you know, so I'm going to consistently take this podcast off the rails.
Amen.
You know, and the next one's taxes. You know, tax rates. We got to talk about tax rates.
Yeah, let's talk about that.
Arguably, and a lot of people are going to agree with this statement, you got to think maybe federal income tax rates are going to be higher in 10 or 15 years from now.
Gosh, yeah.
So, you know, he was going to be in a lofty bracket today if he took the money, but I mean, if you go from 45% taxes to 50, you're still giving away more.
Ooh, yeah.
And we're not even talking state taxes. In California, the last I checked, might be the highest state income tax.
Oh, yeah. They are. I will confirm that with authority. They are the number one highest top tax rate in the country. 13.3%. Where you're big earners in California.
Yeah, and I joked off the air that there's no way Ohtani's going to retire and collect those checks living in the state of California, and then Zed derailed me there and said if the Dodgers are still based in California, he might be stuck. Maybe. I'm not a tax expert. I'd defer to somebody else on that.
But. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, and we talk about like the opportunity cost of not collecting today.
Right.
I mean, if he's losing out on potentially some earnings over the next 10 years before he does receive that payment, but if he can offset that with not paying 12 or 13% in California state income tax and potentially move to a state where they don't have a state income tax like Texas or South Dakota, I mean, it's kind of what is the trade-off? And obviously he has smart tax advisors and agents that can help him with all of that. And I'm sure that's what their conversations are.
The odds are very good. He might decide to move back to Japan. So I don't know what his risk would be there, you know. But the interesting thing about this part of the conversation is none of us know what's going to happen in 10 years. So,
right. No, that's exactly right. And yeah, I mean, here's the other wild card that nobody really thinks about, still in business in 10 years. So in the really, really weird, bizarre chance that the Dodgers file bankruptcy, any contract they have signed would be void and it'd be no deal.
Wow.
That seems like a long shot. Don't get me wrong, but
no. But you know what? It might be, in fact, a long shot for the Los Angeles Dodgers, how long the new owner's been there, like relatively short amount of time,
right?
But you know, when we're talking about the rest of us and those of us who might think about or being able to defer compensation. That's one of the larger risks that we would have to consider.
Yeah. And this comes to my mind, you know, Silicon Valley in California, a lot of these technology company startups, they're famous for either deferred comp or especially stock options. So maybe you don't get paid much salary, but you get all these stock options for a future huge payday. And yeah, it might work for the Google or the Apple of the list, but there's a lot of them that fail, you know? And so if that happens, yeah, you might've busted your tail for a few years and the startup just didn't work. Or the internet bubble from 23 years ago happens and, you know, there's no guarantees sometimes in these things.
No.
That risk applies on both sides too. I mean, we're talking a lot about Shohei Ohtani and that risk that he has with potentially the Dodgers, but you also look at the other way around. The Dodgers are paying this guy $700 million and there's no guarantee that he stays healthy for that whole 10 years. He had Tommy John surgery this last year, so he's not even going to be pitching that first year.
Right.
So, I mean, there's risk on both sides, too, that needs to be considered as well.
Oh, that's a good point. And I guess we should say, too, this isn't the first time this has happened, right? I know there's other players that have been down this path, too, in the past.
Well, you sent me when you sent me a note talking about what you wanted to talk about today, you actually sent me down a rabbit hole there. I was surprised at the number. I just looked at baseball players with deferred contracts.
Yeah. And the one that really jumps out to me is the one that really was at the top of my head right away. And that was Bobby Bonilla.
Yeah.
He was a Met, you know, and to me, that's the one that came to the top of my head as being the first one I remembered, you know, top of mind. And so, yeah, I pulled a little history, but here's the super, super interesting part of this. And I had forgotten this piece till I read this, and we're going to talk about some of these type of topics in our next podcast, but the Mets agreed to pay him, you know, they owed him like just under $6 million. Okay. And basically he agreed to defer it. And when this is all said and done over 25 years, he's going to get paid $30 million. So now Zed and I think we're pretty good at our job, but I mean, if you're talking about growing what he deserved by 500%, over those years, I mean, that's a pretty good deal.
Yeah.
Here is the nugget that I had forgot, and this is so interesting to me. The Mets ownership at the time was heavily invested with Bernie Madoff, which ended up being the huge Ponzi scheme in our country.
Yes.
And so it is believed that the reason they did this deal with Bobby Bonilla on 8% accrued interest in deferment is that they knew or had a strong feeling that Bernie Madoff was going to keep delivering these unbelievably consistent 12 to 15% returns on paper that he printed for everybody year after year. And this ended up being a problem. You know, the Mets organization was in a difficult situation at that point. They still got to pay Bobby because they didn't file bankruptcy, I guess, and all this. But anyway, they ended up borrowing money from other owners. They ended up having to cut payroll in the next few years, which basically put a worse product on the field. I mean, so there was a lot of trickle down issues from a couple of decisions that came back to money with really, really smart people who got fooled.
Well, just, and so that listeners who aren't familiar know, the Mets are on the hook for just over $1 million a year to Bobby Bonilla till 2035. Yeah.
By then, my Bobby Bonilla baseball cards might be worth something.
That's incredible. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, so, and I joke, or I shouldn't really say joke, when we talk about Madoff, and in our next episode, between Bill and I, is just going to be two guys talking finance and kind of the things that we've seen and learned over the last, you know, couple decades. And if you think about the biggest headlines out there, you gotta talk about Madoff as one of those.
Oh yeah, oh yeah. And we'll get to my thoughts on that, which are rather succinct, in the next episode. But yeah, Bernie burned himself a place in history, and it's not a good place at all.
Yeah, no, agreed.
But you know what's funny, Corey, is that, and Zed, I'm curious. Shohei is not the first Dodger with a deferred contract deal, because Freddie Freeman is going to be receiving $57 million from 2028 to 2040, and correct me, Zed, is Mookie Betts a Dodger still?
Yep, that's correct.
Yeah, he's going to get $120 million in deferred money from 2033 to 2044 after his current contract expires. So somebody over in the Dodgers camp is very familiar with the idea of deferred compensation.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see what their books look like in about 10 years when they're paying all these guys and then still having to foot the bill for whatever players they currently have on contract. And that's just kind of where it's very interesting to see that the MLB is not a salary cap league. And you can see why some of these smaller cities might have an issue with, well, we can't afford to pay players that much. I mean, right. Spotrac says that there's 8 different teams that their total payrolls for all of their players is lower than Shohei Ohtani's $70 million average annual value.
That's crazy.
That is crazy. Holy cow.
You know, and as we went into this, my first thought was, why in the world does the Major League Baseball not have a salary cap when all the other sports leagues do? Mm-hmm. You know, and I dug into that a little bit, and surprise, you come back to the money, the Major League Baseball Players Association won't sign off on it. So, you know, so what does that tell you? That tells you that the agents, the sports agents, are probably lobbying the Players Association. The Players Association reps are thinking, yeah, if I can get Ohtani or Yamamoto or Aaron Judge, any of these guys, bigger contracts, it just solidifies their place as running the union or the association, I guess. Yeah.
Well, it's interesting because really, I'm a big soccer fan, or as it's known in Europe, football. And the salaries, if you look at the highest paid salary list annually every year, the top 10 are dominated by soccer players, because it really isn't any salary cap there either. There are, however, financial rules that are in place that sort of govern that, like in England in the Premier League, they're the financial fair play rules, which have been a whole lot in the spotlight lately. And they, in essence, do function a little bit like a salary cap because they really regulate the team's finances to some degree. But yet baseball is all by itself on this one.
I mean, they have a luxury tax, don't they, Zed, or something?
Yeah, the NBA has luxury tax, and then in the NFL, you can kind of add void years onto contracts where you're realizing the salary and a signing bonus, and then essentially prorating the salary over years after the player's gone. So, I mean, there's a lot of ways around it, but when you're talking about European football or even golf with some of that live stuff, there's a lot of money coming from Saudi Arabia, too, that is it's just ridiculous dollar amounts. And obviously there's no salary cap for professional golf if you're going to play overseas, or European football, whatever it is. And it's just the dollar amounts are continuing to grow and grow, and it's astronomical.
They're blinding. At some point, Zed, they got to, I don't know. Maybe this is just me being old, but at some point, don't you think, Zed, the salaries have got to sort of calm down a little bit here.
You would think, but
you know, but I don't know. I mean, the valuation of these teams is unbelievable, too. Like, there you go. I was going to throw out the Redskins' name, the Commanders.
Yep, there you go.
In the NFL, didn't they sell for like $5 or $6 billion?
Yeah, and I think the Cowboys are valued at $8 or $9 billion on their own.
Yeah, you know, so you think of the Dodgers, as long as they can print money in these deferred comp deals, maybe they're just banking on the valuation of the organization going up, and they might peddle this thing before they ever write any big checks to Ohtani. I have no idea.
Yeah, no, I don't know either. How does that relate to the rest of us, Duke?
I was just going to say that. Yeah, tying this back to the everyday consumer. There's
a little financial envy going on.
You know, I think you tie it back to the average Jane or Joe, and just say you make good decisions on cash flow, and that's exactly what some of these deferred comp deals have done for these players.
Right.
If you're punching the clock or working at a factory, I mean, you might have a 401k plan at work. You're deferring income that way too. You know what I mean? It's a different definition of deferred compensation, but you're putting money in your own bucket that you can get at later. And that's essentially what deferred is.
Yep. And that's the easiest one-to-one tie-in is if you have a 401k or a simple IRA through your employer, just deferring a portion of your paycheck and then also getting that added incentive. I mean, when we're talking about this deferred compensation for these athletes, they're just deferring their payments till potentially that term is over. If you're participating in your employer's group retirement plan, if you put in 3%, they might match that for you. So there's an incentive to deferring a portion of your paycheck, and then you can touch that money later, obviously, once you do retire.
Yeah, and it's money when you do access it after you retire, probably is going to be at a lower tax rate in retirement than it would have been when you were actively employed.
Yeah, especially when you're in those higher earning years. And obviously, there's no guarantees on tax rates potentially going up, but
yeah.
Taking the tax incentive while you're working or potentially realizing it later if you do a Roth IRA, I mean, there's ways around things, and just participating in that and getting the free incentive from your employer is obviously a good thing for almost everybody.
Yeah, so you don't have to be a 300 hitter in the MLB that, you know, gets out 70% of the time to succeed financially in making good long-range decisions.
Yeah. Yeah, and actually, that's an interesting point, because I think a lot of people look at the salaries of athletes and they think that's a different world and it has no relation to me. But, you know, Corey and Zed, you make a really good point. It doesn't, in one way, have any relationship to any of us, because none of us three make anywhere remotely near this kind of money. Right. But the average person does have ways to manage their finances and defer a little bit of their compensation to later on.
And yeah, absolutely. And we tell clients this all the time. It's not the dollar amount that's the most important thing. It's the process or the mindset. If you commit to something and stick with it, you know what I mean? That's what creates long-range wealth and patience. Yeah. But, you know, everybody can learn from this, and you don't have to be making $70 million a year to learn and take away a nugget from this that's valuable to you and to your family's future.
No. One, you actually can, in fact, legally defer part of your compensation. Maybe not 97% of it, but you can defer your compensation. And, you know, you can be tax smart, right, Corey?
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's one thing to do well with your investments and your savings, but it's a whole nother thing to create real wealth by playing within the rules. You know, everything we're talking about is legal here, deferring income.
Yes.
You got to be smart. You got to have tax efficient vehicles you're using and tax smart decisions of when you access money. There's a lot going on here. And that's why you have a professional team to take the heavy lifting off, so you don't have to stress this stuff and you can get good guidance and advice. And I've said that before, you don't have to go to Zed or to Corey. We're not the only people in the country that know how to do this stuff. Find your person that you trust and let them help you.
Yeah, no, well said, Corey. But for those listeners who are listening to this thinking, Corey and Zed are the people I want to talk to, how do they get a hold of y'all?
Well, yeah, you are right, Bill. We are better than most. It is... Give us a call, 800-657-4316, and we're happy to visit with you.
That's fantastic. Thanks, guys. This is, as always, Corey, you find like a fun, interesting way to talk about what could be kind of a dull, mundane topic, which is, you know, being tax smart and being smart with your cash flow and deferring compensation for a little bit. That's great. Thank you. And listeners, thank you for taking the time to listen to this podcast. If you're not a subscriber already, my only question is, why not? This is easy. Hit the subscribe button. That way you won't miss another episode of this podcast. And if you like it, great, share it with others. Help spread the word about the podcast. Get the word out about what Corey is doing over at Hymanson Wealth. Thanks so much for listening. I'm Bill Tucker on behalf of Corey and Zed and everybody at Hymanson Wealth. I'm urging you to go out today and make it a great day. Or not. It is, after all, your choice. Thanks for listening.
Thank you for listening to the WIN podcast, What's Important Now, the show that helps you achieve your financial dreams. To ask questions about topics covered during the show or get a copy of Stop Doing Dumb Things with Your Money by Corey Hymanson, visit www.hymansonwealth.com or give us a call at 712-472-3867. Don't forget to click the follow button below to be notified when new episodes become available. Securities offered through Securities America, Inc., member FINRA SIPC. Advisory services offered through Securities America Advisors, Inc. Hymanson Wealth Advisors and Securities America are separate entities.